Shall We Dance? Written by Maggie Alderson and read by Stephanie Daniel. I was early to meet Keith, an unfortunate habit of mine, considering that everyone in London seems to run pathologically late, and settled into our usual table in the cocktail bar at Claridge's, where we often met for drinks. Well, most Wednesdays, actually. Keith and I both liked a bit of a routine. It was one of the many things we had in common which made our friendship so mutually pleasing. This meeting was the first for several weeks, though. We'd both been very busy travelling for work and hadn't been able to make our Wednesday cocktail date, so I was particularly looking forward to seeing him. The maitre d' greeted me like the regular I was, and as he led me over to the corner table, I smiled at two young women who had clearly recognised me. It was my northern upbringing. A cool Londoner would have studiedly ignored them, but I thought that was rude. I still found it flattering to be spotted by total strangers who clearly knew I was Lulu Landers, Queen of Vintage, as I had been dubbed, and not for the first time, in vogue that month. It still tickled me that I had achieved some kind of minor celebrity status just by doing what I loved since I was 19 years old. And considering I was wearing a tight-waisted, bright yellow floral 1950s dress with crazy stick-out petticoats and a veiled cocktail hat, with my current season Louis Vuitton shoes, which had 3-inch platforms, I could hardly expect people not to notice me. The girls smiled back, and apart from doing my bit to promote northern friendliness, I suspected I'd see them in the shop fairly soon. Now they knew they were likely to get a warm welcome. I'd never been able to understand the idea of making a shop so snobby people were scared to come in. Everyone was welcome in mine. Keith arrived 5 minutes before our agreed time. "Still didn't get here before you, damn it," he said, swooping down from his great height to kiss my cheeks. "I keep trying." I didn't get up to greet him. Even in those shoes, I'd only come up to his chest. He put one of his catcher's mitt hands delicately on my shoulder and manoeuvred himself surprisingly nimbly into the chair next to me. I was always relieved it didn't collapse beneath him. Not that Keith was fat, far from it. He was just huge, built on a bigger scale than anyone else I knew, which he said was a result of having steak for breakfast every day growing up on a farm in country New South Wales. The waiter came over with the cocktail list and went through the pantomime of handing it to Keith, who turned to me. "What would you like, Lulu?" he asked, as though I ever changed my order. "A terrifyingly strong vodka martini with an olive," I said. "I'll have the same with a twist, please, Gianni," said Keith happily, as tickled as I always was by the unchanging ritual of our Wednesday night cocktail hour.